If you're like me, you probably have a habit of constantly checking your phone.
And me too. Let's face it. I bet you've tried several ways to break the pattern.
Like limiting where you use your phone.
Or giving yourself a weekly breather with some kind of digital Sabbath.
But in reality, these changes aren't enough to really make a difference.
A similar story goes for social media.
We're so tied to technology as a whole because of one core issue.
Social approval.
At its core, social media does not feel truly social.
Exchanging likes and comments isn't the same as real interactions.
But we keep checking in so that we don't miss out.
This week's book offers an intriguing solution where less is more.
So let's dive into Cal Newport's book, Digital Minimalism, Choosing a Focused Life in a Distracted World.
Welcome back. You're listening to Motivation Minute, where we unravel the timeless truths in that stack of books you've been wanting to read so that you don't have to. And, you know, this week we have a treat because this book just came out literally, 9 days ago. This is the book Digital Minimalism. I had it on pre-order. I am like a super Cal Newport fan. That's the author of this book. And man, I read this book. I filled my note card like from front and back, and I need to go through one more time reading it cover to cover. It's so good.
Wow. And we were going to record an episode sooner, but I was sick, so we weren't able to. We wanted to get this like done right when the book was released, but
right when it came out. Huh. But hopefully we're close enough to it. Why is this book important? So, digital minimalism. Like, what's the point? Well, you need a hardcore philosophy for how you use technology today. Like, the problem is most of us let technology control us, but we need to intentionally control it.
Right. So I guess, you know, I've heard of minimalism, right? Where, and I kind of consider myself a minimalist, or I try to be. I don't really try to be a minimalist, but I don't have that many things. Part of it's because I'm single and everything, but I generally don't just try to collect lots of stuff. I generally throw a lot of things away.
And in general, minimalism, we kind of put negative connotation on that, don't we? Because it's like you're
some
missing out.
Some people do, yeah. It's become more trendy or to be a minimalist, or it's become more cool, I think.
Yeah, I guess with the web, we have like people who are super minimalists in different fields,
yeah.
and we like to follow them because they're just cool in that way.
And it says in the book that traditional minimalists correctly note that living among lots of physical clutter is stressful. But what about, you know, digital clutter? So what's the difference between minimalism or digital minimalism?
So the book gave a definition, which I thought was really good. So maybe we should pull it apart a little bit. So with your online time, you limit it to a few carefully selected, optimized activities that deeply support the things that you value. And happily missing out on everything else.
Happily missing out.
Yeah. And that's a big one because one of the core things the book talks about is that we want to do everything on social media because it has value. But everything has value. But if you went about your life thinking that everything in life had value, you would try to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that we don't have enough time to do everything, so we pick a few things.
Yeah.
The same goes for social, but since it's on your phone and accessible like that, it's harder to think about it this way. But a digital minimalist is someone who happily misses out on the things that they don't need to experience, even though they have value, and focus on the things that directly meet their core values.
Yeah. Like, it's like the quote, you know, if you want something great, you have to let go of everything that's good. You know, it's like there's so many good opportunities online or social opportunities with social media. But the book said that most of them aren't really social. Because of all the opportunities, it's hard to let go. Or it's just, you know, there's always more movies to watch, always more stuff to learn. Always more. And it's really hard for me to not just try to pursue every new video that I see, you know, every new opportunity.
Right. Well, it's how they optimize things on the algorithms. They make you keep coming back. They keep feeding you curated content that's exactly what they think you want to see, which usually is pretty close.
Yeah, so it said that it's good, you know, technology is good, but we should use it for actually useful things, or for, it said technology is for making stuff, not for making us feel better. And that's what we use technology for most of the time, is to feel better, or, you know, we get that high or that like dopamine rush when we see our friends who, you know, our friends commented on something, or and it's just
and
making
that's
us
really
feel
the
good.
Social, that's the social yearning we have, because it, whenever you're on social media, it makes you feel connected and happy, but all at the same time, you're feeling lonely and sad because you're not really interacting with the people with those comments. You're just getting a like. And something this book said was, don't click like ever.
Really?
And I'm like, that's drastic. I started wondering, like, do I agree with this? It's interesting that the author makes a good case. So when you make a click of a like, it's no effort. But it gives the person who gets it a satisfying, you were thinking of me feeling.
Yep, yep.
And creates this, like, if this happens over and over, it makes this vicious cycle go where they're like, I posted this photo and I got 20 people thinking of me. I posted this photo and only 5. What's wrong with me? And there is nothing wrong with you. It took those people literally half a second to click like. They weren't actually thinking of you that long. They scrolled past you, basically. But you get this feeling like, oh, this person cares about me.
Yep, yep.
They don't as much as you think, the way it worked.
Because it's just one little click. Like,
right.
And I've actually found myself feeling bad for not liking something. I'm like, oh, I should, you know, that's my friend's thing. I should like it, you know? I can't just scroll past it.
Yeah. And I read the book and I tried not to like things. But then I ended up clicking like and I'm like, oh no, unlike it. Because I'm like, can you believe how automatic this like response is? I'm like, ooh, I gotta like this photo.
Yeah.
And it was so hard to stop. Well, but kind of the concept is, I think it's, you gotta earn my like.
So you do like, because, so you should like some stuff, or was it saying nothing?
Well, so I don't know if it's really you got to earn my like, or if it's more you got to earn my like in a, like a real sense, like
real life.
I want you to know for sure that I actually do like talking to you.
So like it should be worth, if something that you would actually go talk to the person in real life if you're going to like it on Facebook, right? Or is that kind of what it's saying?
I'm kind of thinking that, like, give them a call.
Really?
Show them you actually like them versus like not doing that.
Yeah. It's crazy how we get so caught up in that, you know, and I think in some ways it's, you know, it's not bad in itself, but it becomes bad because it becomes addictive. And that's what it said in the book, is technology should be intentional, not habitual. And that's what it is for most people, is it's just habitual. Almost all, like, I've wanted to, you know, not be on my phone as much in the evenings or whatever, and I just find myself, I just can't help it. And you know, sometimes it's like, I don't want to be on my phone, but I can't put it down. I put it down and I'm like, oh, I got to check something, you know. It is a habit.
And that's a good point about the habitual thing, because we often look and don't even know why we're looking. If it's an intentional act, you feel like you have a purpose for being there. Like the book was talking about how you have to set up boundaries with how you deal with the technology, where you almost create a standard operating procedure for when you use an app. Like, instead of saying to yourself, I check Facebook to help my social life, you say, I check Facebook every Saturday on my computer to see what my close friends and family are up to.
Okay.
Like, it's extremely defined.
Wow, that's very controlled in a sense.
Because controlled, that's the right word. So intentional seems like, oh, I can make a choice, but controlled, that's really what we're doing. We're controlling our behavior and stopping
you'd
the habit
have to.
Very carefully.
Yeah, you'd have to if you want to have some type of healthy relationship with technology, is to have it controlled. But, you know, most of us aren't willing to do that, right? It's extremely hard for me to do. The one thing I did recently is I wrote on my whiteboard, you know, no, I can't use my phone in my bedroom. So, and so it's
happened.
That's
smart. That's true. You know, it's something.
Obviously, you know, just using a little bit wouldn't be bad, whatever. But it's like, you start and then you can't stop, or just you just click for, you're just like, oh, I'll just watch this video, and then it 2 hours later, I'm still watching videos.
So how do you stop? Well, the book gave a 30-day challenge. It was kind of like just cut out everything and then figure it out in 30 days what you want to keep based on what your values are. And I did this challenge. It was kind of interesting.
For 30 days?
So I did this. So for 30 days, I cut out all my social media.
You did this before the book was released?
Before the, so I was, I'm a follower of Cal Newport's blog, and he put this post out, I think in the summer or last winter, I forget when. But I found the post and I decided I'll do this. So I did it like this summer. And I got off Instagram, got off, actually Instagram's the main one I use, and I used it quite a bit. So I got off it totally, and for 30 days I was off it, and it was interesting. I started rediscovering that I liked things like guitar, which I used, I just don't play guitar usually. But because I had all this free time now that I wasn't like checking my phone constantly, I started playing guitar more. And then I started noticing I would leave my phone places, like, and forget it, like on my desk at home.
Really?
I would like just leave it and like walk around the house and not have it in my pocket. Just forget it was there. I'd even forget to charge it some nights. I have a charger at the end of my bed. I would forget to still charge it because I just didn't really care.
Crazy.
Which is like, I was like, my phone's becoming a paperweight almost.
Crazy.
Which is weird.
And that is interesting because that's not how it is for most people or for me. It's like, I'd rather have someone steal my wallet than my phone. Like, I was just thinking, like, when I was a kid, before smartphones, we would do lots of things that was fun, you know? Like, we would always find something to do, just things were more interesting in general, I think, certain things that now just seem really boring. Or just, like, playing guitar. It's like, I'd rather just be on my phone than practice my guitar. Or read this book, or go outside, or just all the other things I could do, I'd rather just be on my phone, because it's kind of like the most entertaining thing that I could be doing in the moment is watching videos, because
and it's not hard to do.
Yeah, and it's so easy. It doesn't take any work to watch. So it's just like a default thing that we. But it's weird how I was just thinking about like my Amish cousins, how they don't have any technology, and how to them, things are a lot more interesting. Just the little things in life, I think, are a lot more entertaining. And when they do,
what do you mean?
So, basically, like their scale is way different. Like when they see, let's say they see like a movie playing somewhere, I remember kind of being like this, but I was so young. Anyway, if you don't watch movies or anything for like long periods of time, you see something, and it doesn't matter what it is. You're like, it just grabs your attention, and you're like, it just like is so intriguing, and and now it's just normal. It's just so normal to use technology. It's not really that interesting anymore. And I just remember how it used to be. I think because it's like dulled our senses being on so much technology, which is just a normal thing that happens where things aren't as interesting, and we just take everything for granted, kind of. And it has to be super exciting before we are interested in it.
Because we have everything exciting on our phone within a few seconds and taps reach. Like, we can watch anything exciting we'd want to watch. Pretty much.
We have unlimited choices.
You live everyone else's great life through your phone.
Yeah.
And never do it yourself.
It's like we can never not do something that we want. It's like, I want to watch this movie. Oh, okay, we'll watch it. There's never any of like, oh, I can't. It used to be like, oh, maybe the movie, I have to go to the store and get the movie.
Yeah.
Or maybe they don't have the movie,
You have to go to the other store. Like,
now
there was anticipation.
Now you can do anything you want, and there's never any.
Yeah.
That decreases the value of it when it's no longer hard to do it at all. The other thing it said in the book is how we'll use, back to the how technology just makes us feel good, or that's what we use it for mainly. And how it said that that is one of the main uses that people use social media for is when they're feeling, anxious, when they have an anxiety, when they're feeling sad or lonely, or bored or upset or tired, whatever, then we just go to our technology. And that's, I guess, what I've realized that I do a lot is Instead of processing and thinking, I'll just watch, you know, YouTube. And it's actually avoiding, you know, processing important things, avoiding my thoughts. Yeah. Like not being able to like, and I've seen it, some people who don't want to just be alone or can't live with their own thoughts. They always have to be, you know, doing something with other people or always watching something or, and it's like, yeah, like some, and I have that to an extent where it's like, it's actually a bad thing where I need to have more time by myself just thinking. And it's almost impossible when I have my phone because I could just instantly go onto my phone.
How many people do you see just thinking now? Like, hardly anybody. It doesn't happen that often. That when I look at anybody, I mean, like when I'm looking at people in the car, they're on the radio, when I'm looking at, or they're talking on the hands-free voice link with their car, or at work, everyone's walking around with headphones or earbuds on. The book was saying earbuds are our biggest threat to solitude of our thoughts.
Earbuds like, are?
Earbuds are, because you're always hearing music.
Yeah.
And it's hiding your thoughts from you.
Really? That makes...
Which...
Wow, it does. Yeah. It hides your thoughts from you. And...
It stops you from ever having to think. But you're like, okay, I'll just play this music and I won't have to deal with this problem in my head.
Crazy.
And the book talked about how we need to embrace solitude. Very similar to in Deep Work, it talked about embracing boredom. Similar concept with this where, you know, when you're alone with your thoughts, you actually solve problems better when you're doing that versus distracting yourself. And you need a break from social media just to be alone with yourself. It talked about how you don't have to go into complete solitude. You could be in a crowded coffee shop or, like I was just last Friday, in a busy subway car, to yourself in your thoughts with no earbuds in, when most people around you have earbuds in. And it's actually really healthy for you. I went into DC.
Really? With no earbuds.
Around.
That's weird.
No earbuds.
Because I'm always have my earbuds with my, you know, the wireless AirPods.
I usually do too.
But the idea of not having earbuds, yeah, like with you when you're with other people, like what do? You know, because you can't,
right.
You can't listen to something with your phone. Everybody else will hear it. So you just have to just not, you just have to think.
Just not listen, which is so weird.
Or read, God forbid.
Or read, exactly. A lot of people have the around the neck earbuds. You can wear it around your neck like this holder. I don't know what they're called. But
yeah.
A lot of people in like shop floor kind of tech jobs do that. They'll wear earbuds to keep it interesting and listen to podcasts or something.
Yeah. And it's cool,
which,
you know.
That may be an exception, but I wonder how often, like, what would happen if you just got rid of your earbuds?
Yeah.
Would you go crazy?
I think it's good because, I mean, obviously you can learn stuff. You know, it's like, yeah, back in the day before, I'm just thinking even my Amish cousins, you know, they learn a lot of stuff. They read tons of books and they're learning a lot, you know. But let's say they had access to a little bit, like, you know, 1% of YouTube, or no, just like, let's say they had, you know, they could learn so much more just with a little bit more information. We have endless information. I think that's the problem, is when you have unlimited information, then you can't actually pick and choose what, or the most valuable thing you could be learning.
Because you think everything is valuable.
Because everything has some value, so you just end up watching a bunch of, you know, kind of useless videos instead of very specific focus. Like they can't just learn about anything. They kind of have to pick specific things they want to read about, you know. Now we have everything, you know. And a good balance would be to be able to, of course, listen to podcasts and YouTube and everything, you know, but you would have to do it a lot less than we are used to and you could still learn
so, that's
so
the
much
thing,
more.
Because they all...
Because you can,
there is some value from them that you can get.
Yeah.
So if you choose how and when and, you know, what the boundaries are on it, it can be really powerful.
Oh, huge. But you could learn, if you just spent 1 hour a day, you know, listening to podcasts and YouTube, and it was specific. And honestly, forget everything else, you know, all the politics and all the other stuff that you could just not be involved in at all. I mean, I've already spent a couple hours today probably, you know, this morning watching videos, like all stuff that, yeah, was interesting. I mean, you know, but it's like if I was more controlled, focused on specific things that I wanted to watch and I just didn't click on random stuff and only did 1 hour a day, that's a lot less than most
right.
people.
That's like the compound effect, which we were talking about recently, where you put in a little time into one very targeted thing, which you make that your targeted thing social media, or you make it YouTube, but in a very specific way, you can have huge returns from that. But if you do way too much overboard on it, then yep,
mm-hmm.
you'll get where it drives you. And yeah. that's where we run into a lot of challenges. Yeah, so this book is amazing. Like, it perfectly sums up, I mean, what you have to do to handle technology.
Right.
Because it's not, technology is not going to help you figure it out. Technology's goal is to absorb you like it has most of us, because that's how they make money. But the way to get off it is to figure out, all right, I'm going to step away, and then I'm going to figure out, what are my terms? How am I going to approach social media where I'm in control versus it being in control of me? And
so
that's my number one takeaway.
So you would have to have a list of things, or come up with some things that what, like, I would just, yeah, it's interesting. I just heard a guy say this recently at church. I think he's like, you know, don't ask, always ask what's wrong with it. Because there's lots of things, there's nothing wrong with it, that it's fine. But what's good about it? You should ask what's right about it. So you should be able to like explain some things, like, not just like, there's nothing wrong with it, but like, here's the things that are actually good about it, and that's why I'm doing it. So you should like write down like some actually like, okay, these are the specific things I want to use social media for, to learn about these specific things in my life, and I'm going to try to stay focused on those. Something like that, right? That'd be good.
Right.
And then if you, I guess if you're watching random videos that don't align with that, then you just, yeah.
Those have to go.
Right. Huh.
Which is easy to say, hard to do. That's why it's really an intentional choice. So we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and that you'll make that intentional choice to, you know, when you're quitting social media, like, don't like quit us totally. Like, make sure you leave us somewhere in there.
And still listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Intentionally build in that 20 minutes a week where you can learn about the books that you don't have to read, because we'll read them for you. And be sure to check out our survey, motivationminute.com, and tap survey, where you can share the books that you want to hear and also be considered as a potential guest on the show.
Awesome.
So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.